Welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for you and your family. A time to open the Bible and see what God has to say to us through His Word. Dr. J. Wilbur Chapman used to tell of a Methodist minister who often spoke on the subject of sin. He minced no words, but defined sin as that abominable thing that God hates. A leader in his congregation came to him on one occasion and urged him to cease using that ugly word. Said he, "Dr. Blank, we wish you would not speak so plainly about sin. Our young people hearing you will be more likely to indulge in sin. Call it something else, inhibition, or error, or a mistake, or even a twist in our nature." "I understand what you mean," the preacher answered, and going to his desk, brought out a little bottle. "This bottle," he said, "contains strychnine. You will see that the red label here reads poison. Would you suggest that I change the label and paste on one that says wintergreen? The more harmless the name, the more dangerous the dose will be." The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans, calls sin by its rightful name. Our lesson today is titled simply, "The Sin Question." We're on lesson 2 and page 1 in our studies in the Epistle to the Romans. We want you to have this correspondence course, so stay tuned for information on obtaining the course at the close of the program. In our last lesson, we discussed the question, what is the gospel? We discovered that it originates with God. It was promised in the Old Testament. It is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a powerful force for bringing all who believe into a right standing before God. At this time, we're going to ask another question that is answered in these early chapters of the book of Romans. Here's that question. Why do people need the gospel? The answer in brief is that all of us are ungodly sinners and are therefore exposed to the awful wrath of God. We're told in verse 18, that's Romans 1:18, that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And thus, apart from the gospel, mankind is condemned and in imminent danger of hell. First, let's consider the heathen. One of man's favorite arguments when told that he is lost is this: well, what about the heathen who's never heard the name of Jesus? This age-old question is answered right here in Romans 1, verses 19 through 32. Every person may know that there is a God by the works of creation. God's eternal power and deity are exhibited by the sun, the moon, the stars, the human body, animal and vegetable life. Yes, and in scores of other ways. He expects man to recognize him as maker, to glorify him as God, and to be thankful for his creation and preservation and every other blessing. The trouble is, however, that man has rejected the witness of creation to God. For this reason, man is without excuse. Instead of worshiping the only true God, he has made idols resembling human beings, birds, animals, and snakes. These have become his gods. Of course, such dead idols cannot inspire men to live holy lives. Rather, men worship these false gods so that they can indulge in all kinds of sin without fear of punishment. They refuse the true God and substitute carved images so that they can live as they please. Accordingly, God gave them up to uncleanness. Man went deeper and deeper into heathen darkness and immorality until he indulged in vile sexual behavior. Homosexual sin is indicated in Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. From then on, man's life became filled with sin, and he took added pleasure in encouraging others to do likewise. Thus Romans chapter 1 ends on a very sad note. Let's pause for some music. We've had before us not a very beautiful picture. Man going deeper and deeper into sin. Without God coming into the picture, in the person of Jesus Christ, our situation is hopeless. Listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour. We're doing a study on the book of Romans. We're just ready to look at chapter 2. So get your Bible and follow along with us. Also have your pencil and paper ready for notes. You will then too be able to get our address at the close of the program. We have some special literature that we'd like to send to you. Now Romans chapter 2. Having demonstrated that the heathen or Gentile is lost, Paul now takes up the case of the Jews. Surely this privileged people, to whom God gave the law, is not under condemnation. Yes, the Jew also is lost in sin. While criticizing their Gentile neighbors, the Jews were committing the same sins themselves. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore you are without excuse, every man of you who passes judgment. For in that you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. Romans 2:1. Because God did not punish them immediately, they thought that they were getting away with it. Actually, God was simply giving them time to repent, but they kept on sinning, and thus increasing their guilt at the day of judgment. God's judgment would surely come, however. These early verses in Romans chapter 2 give the principles on which God's judgment is based. If a person could show that by patient continuance in well-doing he sought for glory and honor and immortality, he would be awarded eternal life. However, this passage does not teach that any can ever be saved in this way. On the contrary, many verses in the book of Romans conclusively prove that no one will ever be saved by good works. Let's look for an example in the next chapter. Romans 3, verses 19 and 20. That's the third chapter of Romans, verses 19 and 20. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be closed, and all the world may become accountable to God, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. God's judgment would be strictly impartial, whether of Jews or Gentiles. Those to whom the law was given would be judged according to the law. Gentiles to whom no law was given would be judged by the voice of their own conscience, which told them what was right or wrong. The Jews were proud of their many privileges as God's earthly people, but they did not practice what they preached. And thus they brought reproach on the name of God. They should realize that religious rites, such as circumcision, are worthless unless the person's life agrees with his profession. Does the fact that the Jew is lost mean that there was no advantage to being a Jew? No, it doesn't mean that at all. There were many advantages, chiefly this: the Word of God was committed to this nation, and God will still keep his promises to Israel despite the nation's unfaithfulness. But he will not overlook their sin. What is the conclusion then? Simply this: that all men, Jews and Gentiles, are sinners. The Old Testament teaches clearly that sin has affected the whole human race. It also teaches that sin has affected every part of man: his throat, tongue, lips, mouth, feet, and eyes. The law condemns the Jews who are under it, and in so doing condemns everyone. Here in the third chapter of Romans, we learn that in God's sight, the Jews were really a sample of the whole human race. God tested the sample under the law and found it evil. Therefore, he pronounced the whole human race sinful on the basis of the sample. The law has exposed the guilt of all mankind, and so it's obvious that no one can be justified by keeping its commandments. And here's where we close Lesson 2. Again, not a beautiful picture. All of us condemned, guilty before God. But the good news is that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save condemned, guilty people. We find it right here in Romans. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. If you are concerned about your sin, continue to read and reread this book of Romans. Write to us. We'll write to you and seek to help you. Our address will be given in just a few moments. You have been listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour.